King Henry VIII died, in fact, as he had lived, a Catholic. The Reformation in England, of which we have traced the beginnings in this book, did not spring mature from the mind and will of the king, but was gradually thrust upon him by the force of circumstances, arising out of the steps he took to satisfy his passion and gratify his imperious vanity. Freedom of thought and religion was the last thing to commend itself to such a mind as his, and his treatment of those who disobeyed either the act of supremacy or the bloody statute shows that neither on the one side or the other would he tolerate dissent from his own views, which he characteristically caused to be embodied in the law of the land, either in politics or religion. The concession to subjects of the right of private judgment in matters of conscience seemed to the potentates of the 16th century to strike at the very base of all authority, and the very last to concede such a revolutionary claim was Henry Tudor. His separation from the papal obedience, whilst retaining what, in his view, were the essentials of the papal creed, was directed to the increase of his own authority over his subjects, and it was this fact that doubtless made it more than ever attractive to him. To ascribe to him a complete plan for the aggrandizement of England and her emancipation from foreign control by means of religious schism has always appeared to me to endow him with a political sagacity and prescience which, in my opinion, he did not possess.